Amen. So the title, just to give it a title today, is I Got It. And so let me tell a story. I got it. So we're sitting at the dinner table and my wife says, hey, do you know your dad is going to be preaching at the young adults meeting? Dad, can you tell what you're going to preach about? And I said, oh, it's a sermon. I just feel my heart call. I got it. And one of my kids was like, you mean I got it? And I was like, no, I got it. Like, I got it. Like that, Dad? I'm like, okay, well, whatever. So what do you mean? So I'm like, well, it is. And before I could finish, they moved on. They're like, I forget that. That was too complicated. Just moving on. And I'm like, kids are so real. So I went back and redrafted my notes. No, just kidding. But kids are brutally real, you know, at the dinner table. Nobody cares what dad's preaching. As a matter of fact, my kids listen more to Lakewood Church than they do to whatever I say. So I'm like, all right, cool. That's okay. I can live with that. But, you know, I know you have, but we've all watched those train wrecks audition from America Got Talent or American Idol. All of us, we've all seen them, right? And I hate that. Like, I don't like laughing at people's pain. Like, that's not my personality. My wife has no problem. You know, she's like, oh my gosh, this is so funny. I'm literally so embarrassed for someone else that I can't watch. Like, this is unreal. Like, that person has not one family member to tell them, dude, you don't sing, don't show up. Like, don't do that, you know, just stay out of it. But people go and they just try it, they give it their all, and they're all looking for that one thing. And I remember I was watching America Got Talent, which I normally don't, but this particular night I did because somebody referred to it on Facebook or something like that. And it's that famous story, you guys probably already heard, she won, is this little girl named Grace Vanderwall. And if you haven't heard of Vender, whatever, right? Did I get it right? But Grace is her name. If you haven't seen it, look it up on YouTube. This little girl gets up, 12 years old, beautiful story. She gets up there. She has a ukulele. And so they ask her about this song. And she's like, oh, I'm going to write it. I wrote an original song, and I want to share that. Simon is like, are you sure? Like, with this look, like we're going to murder you if this song stinks, even though you're 12 years old, you know? And so she gets up there, and she absolutely just nails it. I mean, just kills it. It was an amazing song. Words were incredible. Rhythm and vocal potential. And just absolutely, you were drawn to the screen just watching this little girl. And she went on to win eventually the entire competition of America Got Talent. And the expression of it is such a powerful expression, seeing the life of this particular girl. Because it was the term that was used in Hollywood to determine that particular quality that a person has that makes them kind of different. And because it didn't have a name, people were like, you know, that person has it. It's like, is that something? Is that sauce that kind of attracts you to somebody? Is that particular element that you say, man, I mean, yeah, it's a person, but there's something in it that makes it completely different than the average person may have. And Grace is one of those person that has it according to the determination of modern days. You know what is interesting? That many of us in Christendom also have it, but is a little different. It in the Word of God is called anointing. It in the Word of God is called anointing. And anointing is that particular element that makes a difference. As a matter of fact, my own definition of anointing is God's available power for a particular task. God's available power for a particular task. And so when we have anointing, we have God's power that is available to us for us to do that which God is asking us to do. And why am I talking about anointing tonight? Why am I talking? Because many of us, and this is when it came to me as I was studying in my personal study time, many of us in today's society, there was a research done by this particular research firm, I believe it was Barna, and they asked millennials things that they believed in their life. And one of the top things millennials believe is that they would be famous by age of 25. Most millennials believe that by age 25, they're believing. Why? Because the guy who invented Facebook was young. The guy who invented Instagram. The guy who invented Snapchat. All these people in our generation, in your generation, and in our times were so young when they came up with something that made them millionaires. Therefore, we assume that we can all reach that particular element in the same manner. But anointing is so important. When we talk about revolution, I want you to understand this. When we talk about revolution, when you guys have this theme in your heart, man, I can do something powerful. We need the anointing, but there's one more element that goes along with it that brings you in the process of what you do. Why? Why this is important? Because God is interested not in the short term, but in the long term of your life. God is not interested just in today. God is not interested in your post of today, God is interested in the live story. You know how Facebook every year gives you a, here's a year in review in your all your photos? God does that every year with us because he's putting together a book that entails the entire length of your life. Not just the moment, not just the Instagram, not just the chat of your moment now, but the process of the entire process of your life. And for us to get that it to function the right way, the anointing, we need God's available power for whatever he's asking you to do today. And all of us can get that, but we need to add that one element. And let me tell you what that element is. That element is testing. Can you say that word with me? 1, 2, 3. Testing. Testing is so important. Testing is crucial in our life. And nobody wants testing. But I want you to know something. That testing determines my position, not anointing. Testing determines my position, not anointing. This is so important for us. Because nowadays, we are driven by it. And not necessarily by the length of the process. And that's why anybody could say, I'm going to be famous by age 25. And you can do, and many people have done it. But the reality is that for most of us, it is in the process of testing that we discover what we really can accomplish and do in our own life. I remember when I was in college, I failed 2 classes. And I hated it because I was in a good track, but I got kind of distracted and I failed 2 classes in college, which I had to retake. And it was just awful. I was so mad about it. 1 class, it was because I wasn't paying attention. And eventually I passed it once I decided to pay attention. The other class was, it was just so hard. This class was brutal. I mean, this class was so intense. And so the class was a lab and a theory. And so I would pass the theory class, but I could never pass the lab. And you couldn't pass the class unless you passed both. It was awful. And so it was like, I'm doing really good here. This teacher likes me. This teacher is just crazy, super hard. And so the combination of this process was doing something to me that was frustrating. But let me tell you, nobody in that school was going to give me a title that I wanted unless I passed the test. Are you with me? Here's what happens today. We all want a title based on what I think I have and not what I've proven that I have. It's so important. So important. No one wants to be tested, but testing is the only way you can achieve the things that you want in your life. It's the only way. And so anointing is powerful. Having it is incredible. But how many people we know that have it and haven't made it? Now, I love sports. So those who watch sports can attest to this. Those who follow sports, how many number one picks turn out to be bust? Just about every year there's that process. There's that process. I mean, I can name a bunch in football. I can name a bunch in basketball. They were the top of the heap. They were doing excellent. Everyone was like, man, they're amazing. They have it. They get to the next level, and they assume because I had it at this level, it'll carry me in this one, and it just won't. Because testing is going to determine your position, not what you think you have. I know you came to get encouraged tonight, but hang in there. Why? What is God doing? God is working on our life because if you want a revolution, you will be tested. You cannot have a revolution without being tested. And Angelina said it the best. As a matter of fact, she stole a line from my message. And I want to find out if she read it before. But the revolution has to begin inside of you before it shows outside of you. And there's no way around it. There's just no way around it. And so God brings you here and through this topic and to what we're talking about so that you can begin to work in that sauce, in that it, in that anointing, that particular thing that you believe you have so that you can put it to the test. So really work in what's in your life. So how did it come about, this story? I want you to go to 1 Samuel if you have your iPad, iPhone, whatever, or you actually carry a Bible. That would be awesome too. 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. And then we'll look at a few verses, but we'll focus mainly on that. Samuel, and we'll stay there. Chapter 9. So I was reading one morning in my personal time, in my personal devotion, so I'm reading this particular story. It's the story of King Saul. So I'm reading the story, and it's very, very interesting. Let me just kind of bring you up, if you're not a person who's grown up in the church and understand kind of Bible stories. So this is what's going on. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, Samuel, who is one of the greatest prophets, that person who hears the voice of God and communicates it to his people, he has the task to pick a king. Why? Why? Listen to this. Listen. It's incredible. Why? Because the children of Israel wanted a king because they saw that every other nation had one. And God says, you don't need that. I'm your guide. You don't need that. My voice will guide you. But see, what happens is when we live our life focusing on what other people have and the directives they have without seeing what God has placed in us, we're going to make the same decision that the children of Israel did. We want something like everyone else. And God says, you have it. You have a particular something that I give you, and I want to use that which is in you in order to do something great. Are you with me tonight? And every one of us can obtain that through the anointing, through the power of Christ, in order to put it through the process. And that's called testing, and it comes through that. So what happens? God says, I have a guy. He's from the tribe of Benjamin. And so I want you to go, Samuel, and I want you to anoint him. I want you to connect with this particular person. Listen to the description. 1 Samuel 9. 1 Samuel 9 says this. Verse 2. And he had a choice, talking about God and Saul. A handsome son whose name was Saul. Man, many of us already fell out of the list when it says handsome. So, but we'll keep reading. There was not more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. Wow. You can insert Brad Pitt. You can insert any dude right there. I mean, this guy was like, this guy was the thing. He was the thing of his town. Children of Israel, from his shoulder upward, he was taller than any of the people. Wow. You kidding me? Sounds like Team Tebow, except for the height, but he's pretty good. So when you look at that, it's like, this guy is amazing. This guy is built well. This guy is tall. He's good look. When the Bible says you're good looking, you're good looking. I mean, it's not like a question. Like God is saying, the dude is good looking. Like, all right, thank you, Jesus, you know? So he's making it a point. He's like, this guy is something else. This guy is set apart for a reason. He's absolutely separate. There's something happening inside of him. And I've chosen this particular person to do something for me. Now, if any of us were described in this particular area, would say, that person's got it. Anytime you go to the mall, anytime you look at TV, what is the one thing you're seeing? You're seeing the way they are, their physical abilities, the way they look, if they have money, if they have the car, if they have the thing, if they have the thing that we see in society that will define a person. Guess what? The Bible has people just like it. The problem is that if God were to judge the way society sees us today, God would say, that's my guy. God did say, that's my guy. But he did not become the guy because he couldn't withstand the testing in his life. And that is the reason when we talk about revolution in our own life, we need to understand that just because you have it doesn't matter, or it won't mean that you're going to get it. And many of us do that. Many of us do that. Many of us do that in the process of life. We say, hey, I got this thing. You have to give me a place. But it doesn't work like that in the kingdom of God. And in the revolution of our life, it has to begin in us knowing, God, I know I have something, but I have to go through some things in order to get to where God wants me to be. Are you with me tonight? So important. And Saul became a great leader. He wasn't a bad guy. I mean, he was a great leader. He fought. He defended the people. He did great things. But then testing started coming to his life. And the Bible says that Saul started listening to the opinions of the people and shut out the opinion of the Lord. And that is where this whole thing goes wrong in Christianity. Is we become focused on whatever we hear others say and devalue what God already said. What God already said. And if you put value in what God already said, he will place value in you and the it that is in you to do exactly what he's called you to do today. But it begins by understanding that, by placing value in that which God wants, and not necessarily in everything that is around you. This is so important for us. I want you to see the next phrase. And when I'm reading my Bible, if you look at chapter 10, verse 1, says that Saul came and anointed him in private. He told the servants, hey, you guys go away. Verse 1 and 2, I believe. I don't have it on the screen for you. He says, go away. And the Bible says that he anointed Saul. You know what? Because it is first discovered in privacy. You discover that anointing that you have in your life when nobody knows you have it. In privacy. It's so important. This is so crucial, guys, because we live in a very exposed world. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be teaching Sunday night in a couple weeks about this particular topic. But I think all of us have become, and there's a study on that, more depressed because of social media than when it wasn't there. And the reason why we do it is because people live their lives so publicly and ours seems so lame. Yes or not? Isn't that the reality? Like, my friends are going everywhere, and so you feel like, holy cow, they're doing all kinds of stuff. I'm not doing that. And so what happens is Saul begins to fall in this trap, and look at this. Chapter 15, you guys already know this story, this particular portion, but I just want to bring you to the story before giving you the two things that I believe God wants for you in your life. Are you still alive out there, breathing? All right. Samuel, 1 Samuel 15 says this. Samuel also said to Saul, so here's what happened. God sent Samuel again. Hey, I want you to anoint Saul as the king of the people, but I need to give him one more test. This is so amazing. He was already anointed. Remember that? Chapter 10, verse 3, you can look it up in your house. He was already anointed. People already put oil on him, already said, you have the stuff. You have it. Right? Look at this. Verse 1. The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people and over Israel. Wait, I thought he was anointed already. Oh no, this one is going to be the anointing. And you see it also in David. He was privately put on and given a title, then later made publicly. Why? Because what is in you needs to be developed in privacy and obscurity because God wants to bring it to the light. But once it's in the light, everybody can see. And that is so important, what God works in us in the dark, in the privacy, in the obscurity. So don't get this depressed and frustrated thinking, I got something I want to prove. But nobody gives me a place to prove it. And God says, no worries. I'm working on it. I'm shaping it. I'm developing it. There's something I'm doing in you that later will become evident to everyone. But if it becomes evident now, it'll also show all the flaws that come with it. Because only testing is what brings out the greater thing that God has placed in your life. So important. And that's why so many people go public too soon, too fast. Too soon, too fast. And then it says that he came to anoint and says, hey, over the people of Israel, now, because I'm going to do that, therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. So if I'm going to make you public and God is going to make you famous, you better be paying attention to who? God, to the Lord. So we want something from God. We want God to use us in a certain way. So we have to pay attention to the direction of God for our life in every area. And so verse 2 says, thus says the Lord, look at the challenge, look at this testing. I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Israel. That is a separate message right there, but it's a phenomenal message. Number 3, go and attack Amalek and orderly destroy him, says all that they have, and do not spare them. This is brutal. I mean, this is, you know, think of any show, the Vikings, whatever in the show. I mean, this is like blood everywhere, killings, all kinds of stuff, right? He says, but kill both man and woman, infant, nursing, child, ox, sheep, camel, donkey. Wow. Incredible. God says, wipe them all. Now, we're not going to discuss the theology of killing right now. It's a different message, but very, very important that you understand that God wanted to defend his people and said, I need you to get rid of Amalek. And if you later read the word of God, like I said, it's a separate message, but I feel like saying this. Because he didn't do that, Amalek became a thorn in the flesh of Israel for the rest of their days. Separate message. If you don't get rid of the thing God is asking you to get rid of, it'll be a thorn in your flesh for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life. You have to wipe it out. You have to get it out. There's no way around it. And God, if God is challenging in that particular way, get it out. Get it out. Is it a bad relationship? Get it over with. Is it a bad train of thought? Get a new thought in your life. Whatever it is, move it out. Because they didn't, they had to pay for it. So if you know the story, chapter 15 goes on. Saul just does what he wants. He doesn't kill everybody, then blames it on the people. And eventually Samuel says, hey man, even though I came here to anoint you as king over Israel forever, because later that title went to David, I want you to know that because you didn't listen to God and you decided to do your thing instead of God's thing, you are done. Even though you had it. Even though you're anointing, you're special, you have something great, you're taller than everybody, you're good looking, you come from the right family, you're not making it anywhere. And when you see David's selection, it's completely different. The Lord says, hey, I've already discarded of David's brother. I like that guy. Because I see the heart and not just the outside. Why? Because God is in the process of testing. And there's two things in the next 10 minutes I'm going to give you. Two things that are really, really crucial for you to get. Two things. Number one is this, that testing proves what is in you. Testing proves what is in you. You can say is in you, but until it's tested, you don't know that it's there. And that's the reality. How many of us have said, been in a situation, said, man, I did this. I had no idea. I had it where? I had it in me. I had no idea. Like, I did this, and I was like, man, that's amazing. Whether it was something daring or approaching somebody or saying something or lifting something, whatever it is, you go and say, man, I had no idea I had that in me. Like, I could do that. And that is so important. The only way to do it is through testing yourself. I've been trying this new exercise routine because I got a little too heavy. And so I was like, you know, I got to get back to this process again. So I got into this exercise routine. And one of the things, if it's not CrossFit, but it's kind of similar. So you have to do jump boxes. You know what those are, right? They put a box and then you jump. So the first month, I couldn't jump that thing. I was like, step up and step down and live with the shame as people look at you. Don't worry about it. It's going to get better, right? So you just do it, right? And so I'm there doing my exercise and just trying it. Then, you know, 3 weeks is into it, I feel a little strong. So I'm like, all right, I can jump in this little box. You know, it's like 2 feet tall. I'm like, yeah, you know, all excited. And one day, the trainer brings out this big box. It's about 4 feet tall, maybe 3.5 feet. And I'm like, what are you doing, man? I'm like, I got to step up to this thing, right? And so just something in me said, try it. And I remember getting in front of this box. And I just gave it all I got. And I was like, I thought I was going to eat it, right? Because I was like, my feet have not cleared the box, and it's time to come down, you know? But just as I'm coming down, like, the front of my foot touches, like, yeah, you know? And I did it. So from now on, because I did it once, I want to try it every time I go. It's like something I want to do. I want to try that boxing. And so I'm giving it a shot. Why? Because I didn't know I had it in me until I went for it, right? And even if I fell, at least I tried it in the process. But I would never know whether I'm getting stronger, whether I'm doing something different, unless I try it. But if I pay attention to everyone around, which, by the way, it was like a show. Like, people were like, that fat guy cannot get up there. That's 4 feet tall. That's just it, right? Everyone's just standing around the box like, we want to see this show right now. So I'm like, I did it. Suckers, get out of here. No, I'm kidding. You can delete that. But So it was one of those things, you know, if you try it in the process, you have to prove whatever is inside of you. That is the only way to do this. I heard a story of some students who wanted to kind of get the edge on their teacher. They fell asleep for their final. They couldn't finish. They were studying all night, fell asleep. They didn't show up to the final. They called the teacher. Oh, my gosh, professor, I'm so sorry. We fell asleep. We could not make it to the test. Can we take it? And the professor was like, yeah, that's fine. So what really happened? The guy was like, well, we fell asleep. And then on our way to the test, we got a flat tire. And he's like, okay, yeah, I get it. And the guys were like, yeah, the teacher bought it. We're going to get the test. We're going to get the test. And so they started calling their buddies. Hey, give me the questions. I'm going to get the test. And give me the question. And the guy's like, yeah, this question is good. They were like, man, we got an edge on the teacher, right? So they show up. The teacher's like, you know, I understand things happen. Let's do this. I'm going to seat you guys in 4 different rooms for the test. And they're like, all right, no problem. They get the paper, and the first page is exactly like their buddies told them. Yes, man, we got all the answers. When they flip it over, there's a second page. And the top of the page says, for 50% of the value of your test, tell us which tire was flat. They were done. They thought they had an edge on the teacher because they could play them. But they have not proven themselves in the process. They thought, hey, we're going to get this over. They had no idea. They just came up with a story. But they didn't develop the story. And so testing does that for you. You have your story being written and it's being developed. If you show up too soon without the development, you're going to be found out. And you don't want to be found out. Are you with me? Very important. Look, God does this. Very, very important. Deuteronomy 8:2 in the New Living Translation. Deuteronomy 8:2 in the New Living Translation. Says this, remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years. Wow. You mean God put them through 40 years? Listen to this. Humbling you? What's the next word? And what? And testing you. Look. To prove your character. To prove your character. Not to prove if you have it. because God already knew they had it. They were the chosen people. They were his favorite people. Still, they are. And Samuel was anointed, and Saul was anointed, and David was anointed. But everybody needs to be proven because their character needs to be proven before they're exposed to the light. And guys, we see it all the time. We see these great artists that do amazing things and then eventually fall apart because character is bound together with the success of the anointing and the move of God in your own life. And so the revolution that you want is going to test those areas in your life. That's the only way, because God is more interested in what's happening in you because he's got the rest taken care of. If he wants a spotlight on you, he'll put it on you. You don't have to go find it. You don't have to go look for it. It'll come your way. It'll come your way. And look. It says to prove, to test your character, to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. I mean, you would think Saul would have read that portion of the Bible, but apparently he didn't. He said, God is proving your character. He's shaping you as a person. And so what we want, once again, is we want the light. My wife, when we began ministry 10 plus years ago here at The Rock, and so we were dealing with stuff, and always God is working in our hearts and in the pastor's heart. She said something so powerful to me. She said, honey, you have to work on your issues now that we're small, because if God takes us to a greater place, it's a lot more embarrassing when you're put in the light. There was so much wisdom to what she said. And when we were small and tucked away, we worked on our issues. Because we knew we had the stuff, because God has called us to do something. The issue is not if you have the stuff. The anointing of God is in your life. The issue is, can you go through the testing in order to show God in your life through whatever he's giving you in your life? That is really the challenge for the revolution, guys. It is that proven in your heart. As a matter of fact, the book of Hebrews has a verse that when I read it, shook me to my core. Because it's talking about Jesus. And I want you to look at this. Hebrews 5, verse 7 through 9, talking about Jesus. This is so amazing. He says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, that proves that Christ came, he lived as a person, all God and all man. And he says, during his life on earth, look what Jesus, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. Are you kidding me? Listen, if my child is screaming to the top of his lungs in tears, I'm going to do whatever I can to help him. How many of you have kids here? We understand. So important. Same thing if your phone is going out of battery. You will do whatever you can to plug it in. You have no kids. I'm trying to figure out what you do. So he says Jesus is crying. Here's Jesus. Jesus did nothing wrong. And he's crying, God, bail me out of this thing. These guys are crazy. They're sinful. They're no good. They're terrible. But I know you have a plan. I don't want to have to do this. If there's another way, get me out of it. You know the story. And he goes on to say, the writer Hebrews says, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Oh, wow. Literally says that because Jesus says, I'll do what you're asking me to do, even though it's harsh, then God heard him. Doesn't stay there. Verse 8, son though he was, so there's no doubt he's the son of God. Son though he was, he learned obedience through or from what he suffered. Are you kidding me? Guys, here's the issue. I know you want me to tell you, hey, you're going to be great, and you are great. There's no question about it. But I need you to tell them, for you to reach the fullness of your potential, you're going to have to embrace pain. And you're going to have to embrace transformation. And you're going to have to embrace difficulties. It's the only way to reach greatness. It's the only way. Because he learned through the things he suffered. My favorite basketball player is LeBron James. If you're not a LeBron James fan, I'm so sorry. You can leave early. I'm just kidding. Stay right there. And the reason why I like him is not so much, you know, whatever you can talk about, whatever things, but My wife says something so profound. We were having a conversation at the finals last year. If you don't know the story, they came back down 3-1 against the best team in the league, and still today, one of the best teams in the league. And so they came back to win, to do something that had never been done. And Dwayne Wade was interviewing him and doing this thing that's his buddy from another team. And he said, hey, how do you do this? Your body's breaking down. You're tired. You guys played an amount of amazing at the highest athletic level. He said, at that point, is mind over matter. And my wife says, you know what? Professional athletes shame Christians. I said, how so, honey? She said, these guys are training their mind and their body to do something amazing. And we have the power of God, and we perform at such a low level. I was like, yes, that's true. Let's pray. That's the end of the message right there. It's too good. I think I'm going to ruin the message if I keep going. Isn't that the truth, guys? I mean, Jesus learned and did the best because of the things he suffered. Not of what he obtained. He obtained it because he suffered. And so it comes to a point with all of us in Christendom where we have to train our mind and say, I know it's difficult, but I can pull through. I know people make fun of me because I'm a Christian, I have a lot of friends, but I can pull through. I know there's situations very depressing in my life, but I know I can get over this medication factor. I know I can win it in God. I know I feel lonely at times, and so I just want to feel wanted, and maybe I'll hook up with somebody who I can overcome it in my life and in my heart. And that was the thing. See, nothing has changed. The only thing that has changed is you guys have better phones than I did when I went to college. As a matter of fact, I told my son I had a pager. He looked at me like I was crazy. I was like, well, you know, it's a thing. Then they beep your number in, and then you find a payphone, and you call that number. He's like, what? What would you do? I was like, don't worry about it. I had one, and that was cool. But I'm explaining to this thing. This is the process. We learn it in the difficulties. When I was in college, it was the same things. It was the same things. So God is challenging us to overcome that. Verse 9. And once made perfect, once he went through the trouble, once he was tested on the inside, once he went through that, it says the following. Once he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Guess what? Jesus couldn't save you unless he died and resurrected. But he had the stuff. He had it. But it had to be proven. And all of us are going to go through that. Second and last thing for today. First of all, that anointing, that testing is going to prove you're inside. Number two, that testing, just like Jesus, comes before a great blessing. And for that, I want you to say amen in your own heart if you want. Because whatever you're being tested with is because God wants to give you something greater in your own life. And if you read the Word of God from front to back, everyone who did great things for God, anyone who caused a revolution in Christendom and in their walk and in their own personal life, did it by testing. And when they overcame the testing, they did great things. Abraham had to be tested. Moses had to be tested. David had to be tested. Joseph had to be tested. Jesus was tested. Everybody was tested. The Apostle Paul was tested. Everyone in Christianity is tested. See, we cannot look at our lives and see our Christian walk through how society puts us. That if you have the stuff, you're going to get positioned. You don't get positioned by what you have. You get positioned by what is proven in your life as you go along. And I want to encourage you today to not walk away from whatever you're being tested. I don't know what pressures is coming to your life. I don't know what you're being tested with. But if you overcome, what you're going to get at the end is absolutely amazing. God has something great for you. I'll end with this. Jesus is being tested in his own life. And as Jesus is being tested, Luke chapter 4 says this. Jesus is water baptized, and when he comes out of the water, the Holy Spirit comes down like a dove. We all love that in the movies. We all talk about it, how amazing the Holy Spirit came, which is a symbol of anointing. So here's, so John says, hey, look at this. That is the guy who has it, and he can save us all. That's what John the Baptist says. He recognized it. So you would think that everybody would go, yeah, come on, man. Oh, we're all waiting for you. Nobody did that. No one did. Because it wasn't ready yet. Read with me. Luke chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, oh, full of anointing, full of it, right? He says, he returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. What for? Verse 2, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. are you kidding me, God? Like, I'm your son. Like, I got the stuff. I know the main person. Yet he had to be tested. But I want you to see what happens with Jesus when he's done with his testing time, which he passed with flying colors, and you already know what happened in the testing. The devil tempting, Jesus replied with the word of God. He wins over. Look at the following verses right after that. Verse 14 of Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Then Jesus returned in the power of the... It doesn't say that before he's tested. It only says that after he's tested. In the power of the Spirit. And news of him went out through all the surrounding region. Guys, this is Jesus. Jesus gets filled with the Holy Spirit. He has it. But nobody knew who he was until he passed the test. Then the lights came on. Bam! And everybody knew who he was. You want a revolution? You will be tested with what you have. Following verse. And he taught in their synagogue, being glorified by all. See, I could have started the preaching with that one verse. Because that last phrase is what everybody wants today. Everybody wants glory these days. And God is saying, number one, the glory has to return to God. And number two, whatever you have that is unique, God gave it to you. And if you want people to know what God gave you, he will test you in exactly what he's given you. In exactly what he's giving you. So my encouragement today is this. Embrace the pain of testing and wait for the blessing once you've gone through it. Because God has a plan for your life. And he wants to use it that is in you. But he's going to test that which is in you in order to be proven before everybody for you to do that which God has asked you to do. Pray with me tonight. And here's what I want you to think. If you've been frustrated in an area of your life, you and frustrated in a moment in your life and you said, God, I thought I had this calling in my life. God, I thought I had this thing going on in me. God, I thought you've called me to do this and I feel in a roadblock. I just feel I'm stumbling the same thing over and over. God, what is going on? I want you to bring that frustration to the Lord tonight. Right there where you are, just put it before the Lord. Start saying, God, I give you this frustration. I give you this problem. I give you this roadblock I'm always running into. I know you've given me something. Father God, I just pray for everyone here tonight that has run into a roadblock in their life, that continue to trip over this particular area in their life, Lord, that would not let them be successful in the things you call them to do. And today I ask that you would strengthen them as they're being tested in this area. Father God, we give you everything tonight. We lay it at your feet, Father. And we say, you own it all. You gave it to us. You own it all. Help us pass the test, Father, so that all may know you and not just us. So that all may know that which you've given us in this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Would you give a hand to the Lord? God spoke to you today.